What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. Anyways, my name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is...
Matthew Haas.
Yes, Matthew Haas.
I like how I say my name like a question mark.
Like you're not
I,
sure?
I always say I'm like Matthew Haas, like I'm not even sure that's my name. Like
maybe it's not.
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
I checked my birth certificate.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Just making sure. maybe you're doubting yourself because you're not really sure if that's your name or not.
Oh, boy.
Matthew Haas?
Yeah, you
wait. Oh. Anyways, the other day I talked to Ernie O'Donnell, who you may know from the film Clerks, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Jersey Girl, Cop Out, Shooting Clerks, and the upcoming movie, 100 Acres of Hell. He's a actor, writer, producer. It was a really fun conversation, so let's take a listen to that now. We'd like to welcome Ernie O'Donnell to the All 2 interview portion of All 2 Real 2. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. Things are good. I was actually just watching a little bit of... the 20th anniversary of SmackDown.
Oh, nice.
yeah, old school wrestler, so I wanted to see some of the old guys I'm recording, actually.
Didn't the Rock come back or something? Or I mean, recently, too, or something, I hear? I've heard something about he's going to come back wrestling or something. I heard that. Which is
yeah, well, he made it. He helped open the show tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, he created, you know, SmackDown is pretty much based off of everything that he did and what he said, but I don't know. I don't know if he'd come back.
I don't know if he'll wrestle or not. Yeah.
No, maybe. I mean, like maybe a couple rare appearances like that, maybe something like that. But I doubt him being on a regular schedule. I don't see that. He's got way too much stuff going on.
Oh yeah. just to get started here. Would you tell us a little bit about how you got started in acting and entertainment and everything?
Yeah, man. I mean, it started pretty early for me. It was in grammar school, actually. We did like a mock-up Amoco commercial in the, I want to say the fourth grade, third or fourth grade. And I don't know, it kind of got me going. And then I got into the grammar school plays. And then in the sixth grade, that's when I met Mike Bellicose, who's known to the Viewaskew fans as the In a Row guy, and Kevin Smith. Everybody knows who he is. And we found a love of, comedy and sketch comedy, especially like SNL and the Blues Brothers. And we started doing little stuff together and school plays. And Sir Thomas More was one of our big ones, Night Before Christmas. So that's where the bug really started. And then as we went into high school, me, Kevin, and Belly created a comedy troupe called Skamods. We actually, when we got to the school, there was no, like, talent show. There was plays. We all got into the plays. but we wanted to do more than that. So we created, me and Kevin joined the social, what do they call it? Not the social media, but some sort of club that pulls off events in schools. So we joined that club and created a talent show so we could perform. Yeah, it was, you know, Kevin had a lot of stuff in his head that he wanted to get out. And we came up with some really cool skits. Like I said, in the vein of Saturday Night Live, we actually got a pretty decent amount of news write-ups in the local newspapers and things like that for our comedy troupe. So that's where it really all started. And then once we got out of high school, I did typically what everybody else did. I went into the city and started doing a lot of background work. So I did probably 30 features of background and stand-in work and things like that. And in the meantime, Kevin approached me about, because he went off to film school, and Kev came back from film school and told me about this script that he wrote called Clerks. And that's kind of where everything pretty much took off.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, you played Rick Darris in Clerks, and that, you know, memorable scene at least. And what would you say, like, is your favorite memory so far from any of the films or anything that you've done?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, as growing up as a kid and wanting to be around this and idolizing, I hate to use the word idolizing, but looking up to a lot of these actors and things like that. I mean, I've worked with people like, you know, in the stand-in field and background, but in small little bit tiny parts with people like, you know, Harrison Ford, Martin Scorsese, and Sean Penn and Woody Allen, you know. And I got to meet one of my idols from one of the greatest westerns ever, Tombstone, Val Kilmer. Awesome. I did some stand-in work with Val Kilmer, and it was just, you know, things like that are really cool. But if I was to say one of the most, probably one of the most memorable, if not memorable moments, was when Kevin gave me a call out of the blue and told me something that he had referred to me a few months back during a poker game. He said that he had got the movie Cop Out, which was early on called A Couple of Dicks.
Yeah.
Before they changed the name because whatever bullshit, it was kind of weak. I mean, they could have went with it, but they didn't. Either way, so I knew it was with Bruce Willis, and when he called me up and confirmed it, of course, I said, "So what do you got for me?" Because he knows that me and Kev back in the day used to rock the Return of Bruno, the Bruce Willis, in my 1978 International Scout all the time. We wore that sumbitch out, and we loved the guy. Kev cooked me with moonlighting and stuff like that, and you know, of course, John McClane, Die Hard. I mean, how can any kid not like, you know, that character? So when he told me that he was doing the movie with him, he said, "Yeah, I got a little something for you." I said, "Oh, great." So I'm thinking, I'm just going to be in the movie. I don't give a shit what it is. I'm in a Bruce Willis movie, so I don't care.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, it's going to be some pass by, a one line here or there or something. But when he sent me the sides, I was acting in a scene with Bruce Willis, with Sean William Scott, with Tracy Morgan, and I was like, you know, that's pretty badass. So I went to New York City in Brooklyn, was there for about 3 days, and you just, the crazy thing is, me and Kevin were just sitting between takes on the typical, you know, director style chairs in the streets of Brooklyn, New York City, watching all this movie making, you know, going on. And it was just very, you know, surreal. It was like, here's two kids that grew up together, wanting to be in the movies, wanting to do things, wanting to work with certain people. And here we are sitting in the streets of New York on a Bruce Willis film. It just, you know, it's kind of mind-blowing sometimes.
Yeah,
and that's
must be surreal, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of the moments that I was like, you know, it's crazy, and it's great, you know? And at the end of the day, it's, you know, you kind of can't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta take it all in. And it is a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hours. I know people say sitting around doing nothing, you're in your trailer, blah, blah, blah. How hard? I mean, listen, I've been a carpenter for 30 years. I know what hard work is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that my job is the hardest. There are plenty of guys out there doing a lot harder stuff than I am. But I know what it is. But when you work on a movie set, I mean, anybody complains about that, they get smacked upside their head, because that, I mean, it's awesome. So that moment is probably one of the highlights that stick in my head. Also, not to mention working with George Carlin in a scene was, even though Kev cut me out and I didn't know until the premiere. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I
remember when I saw Cop Out and I saw your scene, and I was like, I elbowed my buddy in the theater and I was like, I think that's Ernie O'Donnell. I was like, that's cool. Let's see him in this one.
I was like one of the only ones, or one of the only VSU players, really, the originals that actually, you know, gets to work in some other films that nobody else does. And obviously that's, you know, because of mine and Kevin's friendship.
Yeah.
And again, I don't take that, you know, it is what it is. When he calls, I go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't beg for a role. I don't, you know, say do this, do that. He knows I'm here. He knows when he needs somebody in a pinch to do something, I'm here. And I'm very appreciative for everything that he's done for me. And, you know, it's been a 40-year relationship, so, you know, those are kind of rare.
Yeah, you don't have too many friendships that you have from, like, when you're a kid that last that long. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only 42, but, I mean, I only have, like, maybe one friend that I have from when I was a kid, so it's kind of sad. But it just happens.
I got a strange network of friends. I got a lot of close friends that I grew up with. I mean, Mike Bellicose is, you know, my best friend in the whole world. And he was with that, you know, trio, me, Kevin, him, and the Skamods. You know, and obviously Kevin branched off to do, you know, bigger, better things. but, you know, it's weird. I mean, I got a core, I have to say, about 5 or 6 core friends that I've been with for a long time, man. You know, and that's like I said, that's something rare, and it's great, you know. And the fact that, you know, me and Kevin stay in touch as much as we can, but, you know, he's got a busy schedule, everybody knows.
Could
see on the reboot tour, he's all over the place.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a date that I can go see him. So, but, I know you've talked about working with George Carlin and Val Kilmer and Bruce Willis and everything. Who, when you were growing up, besides them, like, inspired you to want to be an actor?
Well, there's different sides of that. I mean, obviously, growing up, Sean Connery was, you know, James Bond when I was a kid was the man. So it was like, that was the greatest thing ever to watch, you know, the whole James Bond saga. I mean, but there was a point in grammar school at OLPH where Kevin approached me, because he used to leave school and go to movies with his dad, which I was very jealous of. He came back to me the next day and he goes, "Listen, James Bond ain't shit." I was like, "What? What are you talking about? James Bond is..." And he goes, "Listen, Indiana Jones." I was like, "What?" He goes, "I just saw this movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You got it." He is. So I was like, "There's no way, man. There's no way." And I went and saw Raiders. Holy shit! That is one of my top 3 movies of all time. And actually, be inspired by Harrison Ford. I think he's, you know, a great actor, a great guy. I've met him a couple times. He's a carpenter. He was a carpenter himself. He probably inspired me a lot. In a weird way, John Travolta. I mean, I love growing up, Grease, Saturday Night Fever, anything that Travolta did back in the day. I mean, of course, when he came back with Pulp Fiction, but I've always been a big fan of Travolta. He's on my bucket list to work with. And of course, the man, De Niro. And, you know, Raging Bull is one of my best movies that, you know, hands down, one of the greatest movies ever made. And then the last and final one is probably Denzel Washington. Denzel is, I mean, you don't get any much better than Denzel.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I got to work with him on The Siege as an FBI agent. I had no lines, but I got to be in the room with him and during the meetings and stuff like that. And just to watch that man operate and all the different techniques he used for every take, it's like going to school, man. You know, so those are the kind of guys, the kind of cats that I really, you know, gravitated towards.
So, what is your favorite film of all time? Just curious.
I get asked that quite often by friends and stuff like that, and that's a hard one for me to pick.
Yeah.
There's a couple movies that I have to always watch anytime it's on TV. Regardless, I'm not talking of, you know, every guy watches The Gladiator or Shawshank Redemption or, you know, Jaws, any kind of movie like that, or Rocky. You know,
yeah.
The guys watch them, you can't turn them off. But the movie that I just love, because I'm a huge fan, is I've watched The Blues Brothers, I can't tell you how many times. It's... Even though most people don't think it's the greatest movie or this or that, I was such a huge fan of John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, and I'm a blues guy. I like the blues. Blues Brothers is one of my tops, and of course, like I said, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's, you know, it's surprising. I mean, I like Star Wars, but if you put Star Wars up to Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm always going to go for Raiders.
Yeah.
But I mean, of course, I love the whole Star Wars stuff and things. I mean, there's so many things, but those two really stick out. And I'm a huge boxing fan, so of course I do like, you know, Raging Bull. Like I said before, it's just a great piece by Scorsese.
Yeah, I love the Blues Brothers. I watched it a bunch as a kid. I had a Blues Brothers poster right above my bed in my bedroom. So yeah,
right.
I understand that love. For sure.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. A couple months ago, I was, you know, because periodically I collect Blues Brothers memorabilia. And periodically I go on eBay and stuff like that and, you know, just look to see what's out there. And I rolled across a poster that I haven't seen since Kevin's bedroom. Kevin had this Blues Brothers poster in his bedroom when we were kids. That I was like, where'd you get that, man? Oh, I love that. I got to get one of them. I could never find it, ever. A couple months ago, I found it on eBay.
Oh, wow.
So I snatched it up. It's an original. So, and it wasn't that much money. I don't know. It was maybe $40, $50.
Yeah.
I got it, took a picture of it, and sent it right to Kev. And I said, do you remember this? And of course, you know, he was like, fuck, man, where'd you get that? Yeah, it's cool. You know, we all love that. And I had shit. Remember, I don't know if you remember. Remember the big, huge posters they used to do full-size? I had the full-size Arnold Schwarzenegger Commando poster. That was another big one.
Yeah, I used to have random posters I would get, and I love that. The weirdest one I ever had was a Kenny Rogers the Gambler poster that I used to have hanging in my room.
Really?
For some reason. My cousin like had my bedroom before me, and she had it hanging up, and I just left it there, and I just had it there for years, just as a weird conversation piece. So, yeah. But,
Kenny Rogers. Oh, yeah.
What are you like currently like watching or listening to that you would recommend to anybody listening or anything that you know?
Well, I just got done watching season 2 on Netflix of Mindhunters.
oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, first season was absolutely great. The second season was good. I didn't think it was as good as the first, no. But still really good. I started, on Kevin's recommendation, I started watching, I think it's called The Boys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I started watching that. I haven't gotten through it all yet, but so far I like it. I just got done watching a couple weeks ago, Ozark, with Jason Bateman.
I have yet to see Ozark. I hear it's awesome, though.
Yeah, man. I picked it up a couple of years ago, and I started watching it, and I fell off, but then I picked it back up again, and I was like, damn, I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, The Boys is good for sure. I had to watch that because the showrunner on that, Eric Kripke, is actually a hometown boy here from Toledo.
Oh, yeah?
The Toledo area. Yeah, so, yeah. I met him a couple times. He's a great guy. But, yeah, so...
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many shows out there, man. It's just, it's crazy. You can't get them all. I mean, it's just,
no,
it's, I don't have time to watch them all. That's the problem.
Yeah, you know, everybody keeps recommending things to me, and I'm like, yeah, maybe in like 5 years I'll watch that.
Yeah, I did watch, because I'm also a big Bruce Lee fan, because I used to watch Kung Fu Theater back in the day, also. The Warrior. I believe it's on Stars, The Warrior, or no, Cinemax, sorry, yeah. Cinemax. The Warrior was really good. I enjoyed that. But you gotta be into, you know, you gotta be into Kung Fu and, you know, martial arts and stuff like that. But, you know.
Yeah.
I like a lot of different stuff. You know.
What advice would you give to anybody that might be interested in getting into acting or anything?
Well, oh shit, man. I mean, back when I was trying to get into it, it was so much different. I mean, now it's, I don't want to say it's easier, but there's a lot more venues, especially with, you know, social media and streaming sites and things like that. And if I would tell anybody anything, and I, you know, I recently just did this myself in the last couple of years, do something yourself. I mean, just don't wait for anybody. I mean, if you want to do a role, a part, or get something out of your head, I mean, go out there and create something. I mean, go make a movie, go make a short, go make a documentary. You know, get that thing out there. It's not that much to do it nowadays. Everything is pretty easy, and just work. Do whatever you can do. I mean, if it's background, stand-in work, just to be on the set. I mean, being on a set, you can learn so much stuff. I mean, that's what I was saying before. You don't complain. You sit there and you absorb. You absorb everything you're watching, the camera guys, the gaff guys, you know, the lighting. Everybody that's doing something, you watch it and absorb it, because you're going to remember it, and it's going to come in handy one day. But, you know, if you're an independent actor and not in a union, just do whatever you can. Grab any role, audition for anything. You may suck most of the time, because most of us all suck during auditions.
Yeah.
It's really, auditions are tough. I mean, I've been on a few lately in New York, and they give me two, three lines, and that's it. It's like, well, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, how do you sink your teeth into that?
I mean, I literally went to New York City 2 weeks ago for two lines. One line was one word, and the second line was three words. And that's it. I was walking out, the scene was me walking out of the diner as a cop, saying something to the chief who was in the booth. And I'm like, you know, do you want anything? Well, you know, I tried a couple different things. And they're like, oh, thank you. And it's like...
You never know what somebody's looking for.
You know, but the thing is, you can't get discouraged.
Yeah.
You can't, gotta tell these people, you just can't get discouraged. Just, you keep doing it, because things come back around full circle. That person that you met that day that didn't use you, or you were with them for 2 seconds, might remember you for something later, or you might meet them at a party somewhere, or a function, or an event, and they're like, oh, you blah, 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 and things happen. I tell people that all the time. Don't turn stuff away in the entertainment business. I mean, of course it's gotta be something, you know, legit.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. You got to make sure these things are legit. And if they're legit and the guy, you know, are passionate about it, you know, do it. Just get there and keep doing it. Don't get discouraged, man. You know, I sat on my ass for years working in construction while all my friends were saying, why aren't you doing more stuff? Why aren't you doing more stuff? I mean, you're friends with Kevin and he can help you out and this and that. And, you know, I was just like, listen, I really don't want to bug Kev about all that stuff. You know, when I'm ready, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I turned 50 and I was like, screw it. Let's go. You know, I started doing it. So I produced my own horror movie 2 years ago, which is coming out in a couple weeks with my buddy Jason Kerner, called 100 Acres of Hell. So I got that coming out, and then I created my own short. I did a short, just brought it to a festival. I got an animated sitcom I'm working on. So screw it. I'm at that point now where I'm just doing anything. I'm throwing everything at the wall, brother, and see what sticks.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good advice, just to go out there and do something. I mean, because I'm a filmmaker myself, and it's just what I do. You know, is I just go out there and do it when I can. I took a couple years off, and I'm just like, now I'm getting back into it, and I'm just like regretting taking those 2 years off.
So, yeah, man. I tell you what, I wish I would have started, you know, earlier. You know, in my 20s and 30s, there was not anything accessible back then like there is now. If you wanted to do something, you had to go to New York or you had to go to LA. If you wanted equipment, you had to go rent it. Nobody had cameras. Anybody, you know, somebody was lucky to have a VHS camcorder if you were lucky.
Yeah.
But now it's just like you can use your iPhone. You can use, you know, anything. It's doing sound, music, your computer. It's so much easier now to do stuff. So there's no excuse for anybody not to get out there and do something if they really want to do it.
Yeah, usually it's just your fear or your holding you back.
Right. Yep. And you got to get to a point where, like I said, you just throw things at the wall and see what sticks. And you're going to put some shit out there and you're going to put some good stuff out there. So you just keep doing it. It'll come. It'll, you know, but you just got to stick to it and be passionate. And don't listen to the haters, man, because there's a lot of haters out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I watch somebody's film and it's not that good, it's like, it's not that good, but at least he made a film. You know, at least he went out there and did it. It may not be great, but at least, you know, he's doing a lot more than these other people are doing. So, got to give credit where credit's due when it comes to that.
Yeah, I love the people that don't do it, and then they just, you know, criticize other people that do it, and you're like, what have you done?
Yeah, exactly. What have you done? You're nobody, and, maybe I am nobody, but, you know, I've done a lot of stuff in my years and met a lot of people, and I'm still here, and I'm still doing it, and so, mostly.
So, the final fun question I like to ask people is, what is your guilty pleasure movie, like something you're afraid to admit you like?
Wow. Oh, that's a good question. A guilty pleasure movie. Oh god, you got there, boy. Now is this one that I have to have watched multiple times,
or just something you enjoyed that you're almost like embarrassed to say you liked it?
Well, I mean, like I said before, I'm a Travolta fan. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Grease. I mean, some guys, you know, don't think that's kind of a great thing, but
That was my sister's favorite movie when we were kids, and I probably have seen Grease more than I care to admit. Yeah, I interviewed Eddie Deason, who played Eugene in that few weeks ago. Yeah, I had to tell him that I watched that movie more than I probably wanted to admit.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love that movie to death.
Yeah.
I mean, I also played Danny Zuko in high school.
Nice.
In the play. Yeah, Kev was Kanicki. Which was... Can you imagine that?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, you should have seen him dancing on stage, boy. Oh, it's great. It's so good.
I can see you as Danny. I don't know if I can see Kev as Kinnicky, but I guess it would work, yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. He pulled it off. He'll never say that he's a great actor or nothing like that, and you know, none of us really do, but he went out there full bore, bro. He did it. He didn't give a shit. And you know, and back then Kev was real conscious of his weight. You know, it was tough for him. But he went out there and did it. I mean, I give him props, man. He did a great job. It was fun. That's a memorable evening, I have to say.
So where can people find your like 100 Acres of Hell and all the other movies and stuff when they come out that you got coming up?
Yeah, so right now my short is just starting to hit the festival circuit the seventh day. That's about priests and pedophile and judgment and stuff. It's really a deep kind of conversation piece, which I'm very proud of. So that's just starting to hit the festival circuits. My other movie that I actually produced is on Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime. I believe it's on Prime or definitely just Amazon. I helped produce a movie with my buddy Troy Burbank called Gone for the Weekend. And that's a great throwback, you know, kind of bachelor party type style. Revenge of the Nerds, you know, those comedies from back in the, you know, the 80s, 90s kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So that's on Amazon now. And then The Big Dog that is coming out on October 8th in select theaters and streaming platforms on October 15th is 100 Acres of Hell. That's our full-length horror feature that stars Gene Snitsky and the great Samu from the WWE, the both of them, and myself and Eileen Dietz from The Exorcist, Catherine Cochran from Terrifier and the trauma films. So that's coming out next week. They haven't exactly told us what theaters, but we're really excited about this. This has been going on for almost 7 to 8 years now, and it's been a long haul. But we're really proud of this movie. We've won some awards through some festivals and things like that, but we finally got picked up by a distributor, Indican Pictures. It's coming out next week, and we're stoked, man. I just hope everybody watches it for the holidays, you know, for the Halloween season. It's good. It's very, you know, for the money we spent, this thing looks like $1 million film.
Awesome. I'll have to be sure to look around for that and check it out.
Yeah, it's all over social media, and a lot of the horror sites are picking it up and doing reviews of it and things like that. So, yeah, this is going to be a good one.
And where could people like follow you on social media or whatever, on Twitter and whatnot and everything?
Yeah, Twitter, I'm on, it's OEO'Donnell7 on Twitter, and I just joined Instagram a couple weeks ago as OD Blues, and I'm prominently on Facebook as Ernie O'Donnell.
Awesome.
So I'm usually on Facebook most of the time. That's where most of my stuff goes. Cool. But I've been trying to branch out into Twitter and Instagram a little bit more, because it is good to pimp your stuff and to get things out there. And it also gets you hooked up with people like you and, you know, other people around the country, around the world, I should say,
yeah,
to do cool things like this and to do projects and, you know, events. I mean, the last event I just did for Kev, the Clerks 3 reading.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, social media was a big part of that. So it's good to get out there and do that stuff, because that's why we sold out instantly two nights.
Awesome.
For a great cause. So,
well, it was great talking to you. Hopefully we can talk again sometime, and good luck with your films.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you reaching out, and you know, hopefully we'll meet up one day.
All right, awesome. You have a good night.
You too. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Okay, and we are back. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I know I did.
I did too. I loved it.
Did you love it?
No, I did. I loved it, yeah.
If you loved it so much, you should marry it.
Oh, I can't love an abstract thing.
Oh, that's right.
You know.
I forget sometimes. Yeah.
I know you do. It's okay.
I know. My name's Mike, by the way. I mean, I know I introduced myself at the beginning of the show, but yeah. I'm just letting people know that I know who I am. I know I'm secure in myself. I love myself. I love the listeners. Matt is laughing at me.
Because we were supposed to make this serious.
I know.
We can't do it, guys. No. I'm sorry. So we're just going to keep riffing.
Yes, we will. So anyways, I love myself. I hope you loved that interview. I love Matt. Mm-hmm. I love you.
I love Mike.
Yes. And we love everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything and everybody.
Yes. And make sure that, you know, you do good things for each other. Mm. This world is a nice and happy place if we make it that way.
Yeah.
That's my advice for today. So Matt, what should people do that if they liked this and love us and love the episode?
If they are all of those things, and they also want to make the world a better place, they could start doing that by liking our podcast on social media.
Yes.
/ sharing it. Mm-hmm. Links to their friends and or followers, whether it be via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. Snapchat, if that's even still a thing. There's some bullshit called TikTok now, apparently. I'm sorry. Does it mean it's completely trash and happier?
But, it's okay, TikTok.
Okay.
Yes.
If you like to sponsor us, TikTok. Okay, anyway, yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, or any other, you know, kind of social media.
Any internet-based
if you want to put a thing. You know, or if you want to put a bunch of letters together and just hand them to your mailman and mm-hmm. send them off to your friends that say, hey, listen to All Too Real 2.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And also, we very much appreciate if you would go to any of the normal places you go to listen to podcasts, whether it be Stitcher, Apple, whatever, you know, just, you know, give us a 5-star rating or a thumbs up or any indication that you liked it, because that will help our ratings and that will also help us get listeners in the future. So you won't be the special few anymore, but your family will grow exponentially. So
you can always be the hipster that was the first one to listen to us.
Yeah, you'll always have that. Yeah. So that's, you know, no one can take that away.
Are hipsters still a thing?
They probably are. They might have a different name by now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Post-hipsterism.
Yes. Post-hipsterism. Anyways, you know, do that. And, you know, if you like us a lot and you want to wear stuff that, you know, has our logo on it and other things, you can, check out our TeePublic. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. We got, cool, t-shirts and bumper stickers and other fun things, tote bags. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Maybe, you know, a car with our logo on the side of it. Wait, I don't think they sell those on there. No, they don't. No.
We don't sell cars, people, so.
No.
Maybe like miniature toy cars.
I mean, you might be able to buy something on there that you could put on your car, like a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
And then you can drive around town and let people know that you're cool.
Yeah.
Or that you listen to us, one of the two.
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, or both, I mean, whatever. So, yeah. Hope everybody has a good evening, morning, afternoon.
Or a timeless type of existence. Yeah.
If you're in some kind of dimension that time doesn't exist, you know, I hope you're enjoying listening to this.
I hope they're enjoying their existence altogether, because that would suck.
Yeah.
They weren't in a timeless sort of realm, mm-hmm. but, you know, so hopefully this will bring a smile to their face.
Yes. And have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.